Welcome to the Do It For The Process podcast. I am happy to be back with you in this space. Since we last talked, a lot has happened. A lot being like just, you know, the beautiful, glorious chaos of life. We began making artwork, the course that I offer for creative entrepreneurs who want to grow their delicate, thoughtful, creative practices into thriving businesses that can sustain them, that have profit, that have sales, that have consistency. We love that. We're here for it. We center everything around that purpose, really. I also just kind of settled into my own creative practice, which has felt so sweet. I've done a lot of painting. Like, for every painting that I didn't do in 2020 because life felt too overwhelming and I was needing to heal and needing to rest and needing to just give myself some space, I have made up for that. I am like a little painting robot. Not really. There's been times in my life where I've painted a lot more. But it feels so good to come back to the process. And a few things that I've learned by prioritizing my own painting practice yet again is, let me just kind of riff. I don't have these written down. I'm just going to talk. I'm going to say just what comes to mind that I've learned in this beautiful season of high creativity and high output. Number one, it's so much fun. It is so much fun to create. And I know that this is a job and this is part of my livelihood and, you know, my groceries depend on it. And, you know, that can feel less fun. But this is the most fun I've had in the studio in my whole life. And I don't say that lightly. It is true. It is like pleasure. And last season of the episode or of the podcast, when I talked about pleasure a lot last summer, go back and listen to those episodes. They are so good. They were me just solidifying to myself and in myself that pleasure is one of the most important things that you can ever prioritize in your entire life. And this comes after a lifetime of being a happy person, yes, but being told that pleasure is not the priority, not important. If it happens, great, but it should not be the thing that you focus on. It may even be sinful. I grew up in a very religious, conservative home that talked about duty and calling and purpose and strife and trials and hardship, and like pleasure was not a priority, and it was definitely not something that we were told to seek. I was such a wild child. I played outside constantly. I had a lot of fun, but don't get me wrong, I had a lot of fun as a kid. A lot of time in nature, which I love, but that just wasn't a thing that I was told as a child, and I didn't really see it modeled. The adults in my life didn't seek pleasure. It wasn't like a daily practice, and that has ripple effects, and they're not good. And I really like settled into the fact that like I would have fun as an adult. Like I would do things that were pleasureful, and I had the most fun job. Like I've always been a full-time artist. Like that's crazy. What a beautiful way to make a living and to like to provide for all of adult life, right? But I definitely came to it with duty first, pleasure second. And like this may or may not be fun, and that's okay. And that led to a lot of like anxiety and disordered eating and my body shutting down in strange ways and panic attacks and things that I just thought were a normal part of being a human. Like everyone's on anti-anxiety meds, right? Yes, true. Take them if you need them. Please, please, please. I also have done that in the past, and it's been a gift to my very exhausted brain at that point in my life. But what I'm learning in my brain and in my body is that sometimes you just have to say, this is fun for me, and that's okay. This is fun for me, and that's enough. This is fun for me. I like it better this way. Like, just try using those simple words whenever you come up against resistance to your own pleasure and your own happiness. If you need to say this to yourself, then do it. If you need to say it to someone else, then do it. I like it better this way. Is that not enough? Yes, it is. It's enough. Okay. Okay. That got a little philosophical, but it's so much fun to let go of expectations, let go of external validation. No one has seen this body of work in a lot of detail yet. You might have seen sneak peeks on Instagram, but like you haven't really seen this body of work. If you're in making art work, you've seen it behind me. It's like always scattered all over the floor when I'm doing my like live Q&As and things like that. So you've seen it a little bit, but I haven't like properly shown this body of work yet. It's still being built, and that's so much fun too. But I began this body of work also doing things that I don't normally do. So maybe point number two is try things that excite you, things that are new, things that awaken a new part of your brain that just feel fun. I did something new, and this is really subtle, and the work looks like my work. So you're not going to be like, whoa, Emily, totally different. Wow, did not expect this. You're going to see that it looks like me. But from the inside of my creative practice, it feels really different because I'm doing this new technique where I paint flat. So the artwork is, the canvas is down flat on the table. And it sounds like I'm doing surgery on it. and instead of like painting like I typically would with like oil paint being sculpted, and I really thought of it in my past collections of work, like sculpting a quilt, essentially, like I'm quilting pieces of this painting together in this really structural. Oil paint tends to get smushy and mushy as you work with it because oils don't dry very fast, so they tend to overlap and turn into this beautiful gray, brown, sludge, mushy color if you're not careful with it. I didn't want that for this collection. I want the colors to be very bright. Also new for me, I love bright colors right now. Hello, pleasure. We're having fun with this. And I wanted the colors to stay pure and bright. So what I'm doing is the painting this flat on the table, and I began painting at night. If you've heard me talk about my practice in the past, I do not paint at night because the light is bad. And when you work with very nuanced colors, the light being a little bit too yellow or a little bit too white or a little bit too blue or whatever, it really messes with your entire process. You can't do it. The colors are going to look completely different in the daylight in the morning, and you're going to be like, what is this? This is a mess. I have to like redo all this now. I've done that enough in my past that I know exactly what that's like, and it's frustrating. But with this collection, again, we're making this fun for us. I like it better this way. I have creative energy at night. I'm going to use it. I began painting this entire collection with a night painting session. I have some new lights set up in my studio that came from a videographer, so they're like legit. They're not even like that high tech. I can use them, which you just kind of flip a switch and they're on. But they're intended to light spaces really evenly, which is awesome. I'll ask Kara for the link and I'll put it in the show notes. I don't know what they are, but we'll find out from the pro. So my studio is lit. I'm able to paint at night. I'm able to paint in the day. I'm able to paint with my child around. Point number three is going to be just flow with it. In case you're not aware yet, we're just going to flow. Okay, this is a pleasureful, flow-filled process over here. And that is so much fun. But I'm painting flat. And instead of painting with like sculptural brushstrokes, I'm painting with washes. So it's much more like watercolor painting than oil painting. I'm washing and layering. I'm using some new mediums that dry a little bit faster. I'm using a quick drying white instead of my traditional like slow drying titanium white. It's also titanium white, but the binder has a quick drying agent in it, which just speeds up that process because if you're an oil painter, you know this, but white paint takes a long time to dry. So I'm using the white of the canvas to lighten things and painting more thinly. I'm using a quick drying white, so I have a bit more fluidity and I can paint almost more like a watercolor or acrylic mixture. I'm using really gorgeous pigments. Oh my gosh, they're so beautiful. Am I going to share my secret for this? I don't know. I don't think I am, actually. If you want to know this, DM me privately and I might share if I'm feeling very generous that day, but I'm going to keep my source for the pigments to myself because they're so good. And that isn't to be like gatekeepy. When you find something precious, it's okay for it to be yours for a little bit. Okay. Okay. Yes. Perfect. Boundaries. We have boundaries in this podcast. What do we know? Huh? We're evolving. Okay, flow. Paint with whatever flows into your life. If you have a child, we're going to hear from some from my team, actually, about painting and creating with children as a mother, what being a mother does to your creative practice, because let us not overlook the fact that being a parent will change everything in your life. And if you're the primary parent, as many mothers are, you have a different priority. You have a different flow. You have a different rhythm. You have a different brain space. You don't get those delicious, large, juicy chunks of time that you might get if you were not someone that had children to care for. You don't get to go into that deep, deep work, that deeper headspace as often. So it is worth acknowledging that that changes things, okay? I don't care how feminist you are or how much help you have or how much your children are independent learners, independent players. I don't really even care what age your child is. Of course, I have older kids, and that does feel very different than having my young son in my studio, because their energy is just completely different. That's very, very, very valid. Having a baby in your space is different than having a 15-year-old, right? Let's acknowledge that. But regardless of the age of your children, they're in your brain. They do not leave your head. They are always in my heart. They're literally always with me. I love them, but my gosh, that can be a lot to like flow through and to flow with. Okay, so one thing that I'm doing in this collection, this is so fun. I am letting my child paint on my paintings with me. I am an oil painter, as I said many times already in this little episode so far. I'm an oil painter, which means that I can erase, I can soak up, I can like move things around. I'm really, really good at painting. Like, I can say that. I am really good at my medium. Like, you could come in and splash a perfectly white canvas in pigment and I'd be like, okay, great, I can work with that, no big deal, I got this. You didn't faze me. So having him paint on my paintings doesn't faze me. Of course, there are areas that I'm like, don't touch that, I like that. And he's very good at boundaries. He's very good at hearing me and collaborating with me and cooperating with me. We've built up a lot of trust in the studio. He knows his paintings are my paintings. And then he has paintings that are his paintings, and those he gets to creative direct and he gets to control what happens in those paintings. And that's a lot of fun. But if he's working on my painting with me, he's very respectful of the space and the colors and the tones and things like that. So it's so much fun. It keeps me light. It keeps me flowing. It keeps me free. It keeps me guessing. He does things also on the canvas that I'd be a little bit hesitant to do. And then I'm like, whoa, I actually love that. That looks great. And I love that. Keep me young. Keep me fresh. Keep me vibrant always, please. Thank you so very much. Also, it's just so cute. Like watching little fingers holding a giant brush and like dabbing paint and watching his expression of how the brush moves evolve and become more and more finesse each time we work together. It's really, really special and sweet. So it gives me a lot of love and purpose. Like, I love this work, and it feels like this work has more purpose because it's now something that we can do together in harmony versus in resistance. Which, if you're like rolling your eyes right now, being like, Emily, there is literally no way I can do this, I hear you. You don't have to, don't worry. Find other ways to find harmony, get the lights that I recommend, and paint after your kids go to bed. You can do that. Okay, we'll talk more about creativity and motherhood in a future episode with my team, Sky and Kate. They come and share their experiences also. And we just have a really honest conversation that'll come out around Mother's Day. So stay tuned for that. My fifth thing that I've learned in this process is I thought my next body of work was going to be some really big abstract pieces that I would paint on the ground and I paint on loose canvas, and it was going to be this really like abstract, fluid, expressive thing. And that work is still living inside me, yes, and I think it will come out of me. I just need a better space to do it. I have beautiful wood floors in this house, and I don't really want to paint them. So I'm like, oh, maybe actually not, because I'm going to be messy. So that work might happen in the future. But for this collection, I walked into it imagining that I would create something that felt different. And what I'm learning is maybe I just want to feel happy and alive, and it's okay if these pieces are landscapes. Of course it's okay. That's my work. I get to create whatever I want. There's no external ego in play here. This is just beautiful creative flow and harmony. So why are there any expectations and shoulds in my brain? I don't know, but there were. And it's okay if this work feels familiar because I'm having so much fun. And also it looks really different. So it's not even familiar because the colors, oh my gosh, the fluidness, the watercolor element, the flow, the like just put the paint down and walk away energy. It just feels so great. Number six is that. Let them be fluid. Let them be a little bit rough. I have the tendency to be a perfectionist. I don't know if you've noticed or not. Maybe you have. Hopefully not. But I tend to keep my nose quite close to the canvas. And that's a metaphor for like all of life, by the way. And just really look at the details and want to refine every single one of them. I want them all to be perfect. And then they are. They're perfect. But perfection is becoming very, very boring to me in every area of life. If you're perfect, I'm probably going to gag a little bit. And I'll be like, wow, you're so perfect. I love that. And you're beautiful. Like, ugh. But you know what interests me so much more? Somebody who lets the soft animal of their body want what it wants and is okay with that and lets us see that wanting. Somebody who looks outward far more than they look inward. And what I mean by that is don't, you know, not look at yourself, but if you're constantly focused on yourself, if you're constantly analyzing yourself and making yourself palatable and making yourself beautiful, and as someone that, like, I like to look nice, this is not about that, but if you're constantly stressing about how you're being perceived more than how you're affecting others and how you're observing others and how much inspiration you're taking in because you're able to look up and look out, oh, I want that. Like, I want that, please. So perfectionism shows up in my practice in a lot of ways. It shows up in the size of brush that I use and the way that I want to refine a painting and call it finished and the way that I want to perfect every little angle and nuance and detail and hyperanalyze things. And I don't think that's fun. It doesn't feel good to do that. It feels judgy and stiff and hostile towards my own abilities and my own hands and my own movements. It feels stuffy and like I feel like I don't belong in my own body when I'm striving for perfection. And that isn't to say that you can't refine things because I love refining things. It's fun. It feels good. But there's a balance there that I need to strike, and that's just my personal preference, and you're going to have your own relation to these words, and you might be like, oh my gosh, I needed to hear this, thank you so much. Or you might be like, actually, I like refining things, and I like getting really detailed and zooming in and making things perfect. Please do. But for me, right now at least, I need to look out a little bit more than I look in. I spent a lot of time looking in, so I'm very good at that. And now that kind of comes a second nature to me. And now the things that we might call perfect feel very natural. That sounds really I can't even speak. So no, it doesn't. I was going to say it sounds kind of stuck up and stodgy. But what I mean is I perfected things enough that I know how to do them. I know how to do that. I know what that looks like for me. And now that I have those skills, now I want to try something new, try something that feels a little bit more free and loose and light and let it go. Just do it. An example of this is a couple of days ago, like last Thursday, it was a little bit cloudy and I had a patch of sunlight from like 5:30 p.m. and I knew it was going to be dark by, 6:30 p.m. where I am now. And I had to do an entire photo shoot in under an hour, which included gathering the supplies, setting up the scene, getting everything ready. I was doing this beautiful little flat lay on the ground for our Earth Day sale, and it was very green. I ran outside and literally pulled up weeds, actual weeds, from underneath my little carport area. And I brought them inside, roots and dirt and all, and I put the things down and I had the photo shoot, and it's so beautiful. I'm so good at this point. It's not even my job. I always say that it is totally my job, but I'm always like, it's not even my job to be a photographer, and I'm just so good at it. It is my job. I know that, but I tease myself and hype myself up at the same time, because if you don't hype yourself up, who will, right? Ugh. Okay. And that's an example of, now that I know how to do something really, really well, I can just do it without really overstressing it or overthinking it too much, and just let it happen, and then it's done. And that photo shoot took me under an hour because I just didn't really need the full hour. I was like, all right, cool. I got like 30 photos, maybe 10 videos, and they're all perfect. I love that. That's great. That isn't to brag. It's just to say that practice does pay off. And now I would like to go the other way, and not in my photography necessarily, but in my painting, just loosen up a little bit. Actually, yeah, photography too. I just bought some lenses that, like lens filters, I mean, that like do these beautiful blur things and shines, and just to play. I'm not a pro. My camera is on auto mode mostly always, so I'm not standing up here as like a perfectionist photographer by literally any stretch of the imagination. I'm just really good at what I need behind the lens, and I really, really enjoy doing that process. So beautiful. Another thing that I have recentered in my life is the use of affirmations, the use of keeping pleasure as the forefront. Affirmations are a really big part of that for me. If I walk into the studio and I make myself paint, number one, I don't want to do that anymore. That doesn't feel good. I've done it many, many, many times. Back when I was doing commissions, I would make myself paint. I would do 3 commissions a month. That's a lot of commissions. If you haven't done commissions before, just trust me, that's a lot of commissions, but it was my bread and butter. And I am so thankful for each of those collectors and each of those experiences. They were like 90% of the time delightful, but I did have to make myself paint to stay on my schedule. And you can do it. I can do it. It works great. But it doesn't feel as fun. So now I don't make myself paint, but what I do want to prioritize painting. So how do you do both, right? Like, how do you do both of those things? For me, affirmations are a really big part of that. If I step into the studio and I'm like, okay, today's a painting day, which not every day is a painting day. Also, it should be noted that it's not always a painting day. But if it is a painting day, like Wednesday is a painting day for me this week. I am so excited about it. I'm not going to try to paint today. I don't have time today. My plate is full. I'm maybe going to try to paint for a moment tomorrow, but honestly, I doubt it. I have a live tomorrow with the collective, and I'm going to prioritize my energy for that. And then I have a meeting. Anyways, I don't know that all the time. So it's okay if I don't paint tomorrow, but Wednesday, I'm already hyping myself up for Wednesday. It's going to be so much fun. Like, it's going to be so much fun. I'm going to put on Cowboy Carter. I'm going to make my beverages delicious all day long. Kombucha, coffee, tea, a little white wine in the afternoon. It'll be delightful. I already know that I'm going to create such good work on Wednesday, because I'm telling myself already, I will create such good work on Wednesday. Like, it's that easy. It's that easy. And when I go into that with that kind of intention and lightness, suddenly creating good work feels like, yeah, of course, it's second nature. I like it better this way. It feels good. I'm having a great time. I'm here to have fun. If I hate what I create, great. That's fine. That's completely fine. And you know how often I actually hate what I create when I go into it with that kind of intention and lightness? So rarely. So rarely. There's one painting in this collection that I'm looking at it and I'm like, I don't know if you're going to work, actually. I don't know that I love you. That's out of like 10 pieces. So I can take those ratios. That's fine with me. And I think I can even like fix this one and make it beautiful. So I hope this has been interesting, if nothing else, insightful. I hope that you've taken away some thoughts for your own creative practice. Just really, again, like the theme of last year, enjoy your creative practice. There are so many parts of running a business, running a creative entrepreneurship, running a studio that feel challenging and hard. And your creative practice should not be one of them. There are other parts that you can struggle in. If you just finished your taxes for the year, congratulations. That part can feel challenging and hard. It is. It's frustrating. It's annoying. It feels like a lot of our efforts go to, you know, to taxes, which can feel really just not gratifying, to say the least. Like, I don't love funding a genocide. I'm not going to get political on this podcast, but like, that just doesn't feel good to me. So with that in mind, let your creativity be a source of pure pleasure, because there are things that are going to be hard. There are things that are going to be taxing and tiring. There are things that are going to be stretching and exhausting in other ways. I hope all of it feels fun to you. If you're making artwork, I hope this whole business thing just unfolds and feels like, oh my gosh, of course. Yes, it's all connected. It's all holistic. It's all circular. It all connects, because it does. And it's all fun, and it can all become pleasure if you begin to equip yourself and empower yourself in the ways that we teach inside of that course. It all is connected. And it's so beautiful when you figure that out. But let's start with your creative practice. Have fun in this space. Let it be a source of delight. Let it be a source of pleasure. Let it be a source of fulfillment. Look into the world for inspiration. Look into yourself for inspiration. Don't get hung up on perfectionism. Flow. Try new things. Experiment in new ways. Let yourself discover new parts of your own psychology, your own emotional bandwidth, your own thoughts, your own processes. You are such a well of deep, beautiful inspiration. And I can't wait to see what comes out of that, because I think if we just let go of a little bit more ego in the creative process, suddenly it becomes a lot more fun and a lot more free and a lot more alive. And the things that we have to say suddenly have a lot more volume. And I love that for all of us. So let's dive in and do that and really just make this so gratifying, because it is, and it should be. Okay, we're back. The podcast is up and rolling. Let's do this. The next episode is going to be such a thoughtful, deep, rich conversation with Viana Novas. They are an incredible multidisciplinary artist living in California. They are an illustrator, thought leader, trauma-informed artist and creative, author, retreat host, podcast host, and speaker. One of the people that I turn to regularly and have rich, long conversations with. I really love this person, and I think you're going to get so much out of this episode. It is definitely deep. It's definitely very, very thoughtful, and you're going to really, really love it. I'm certain of that. So tune in for that one. That will happen at our next episode. And then there after that, we have an episode, like I mentioned earlier, on motherhood and creativity with my team members, Kate and Sky. And we just talk, the three of us sit around my living room, and we just talk about what it means to be a creative. And that one also gets really deep and thoughtful. And if you have children in your lives, if you have people that you care for, in whatever respect you care for them, this is going to be such a rich, encouraging conversation. It is, I mean, I like got chills multiple times. It was so beautiful and so thoughtful. And Sky and Kate also have full-time jobs. They work for me. So they're balancing a lot. And I think that's interesting to hear from creatives that have more than one thing on their plates, because this is my full-time job. I mean, there are lots of facets to it. I'm an artist. I'm a teacher. I'm a retreat host. I'm a podcast host, like all the things, right? But like, I work for myself. So I get to focus on the things that inspire me most in that day. I get to really flow with my energy and my interests. And that is a massive privilege I do not take lightly. I don't even know what I would do if I got a real job. I don't even know what I could be hired to do, honestly. What would they even hire me for? But this conversation I think is really interesting because Kate and Sky both balance their own creative practices, the needs of their families and their children, and also their jobs, which they do so well. I am so thankful for these humans. If you know Kate and Sky, if you're in making art work, if you're in the collective, you know how incredible and generous my team is. We don't hear from Sarah because Sarah doesn't have children and she chose to like give us the space to have this conversation just, you know, focused on creativity and motherhood. But Sarah also is such a beautiful addition to my studio, and like the things that she weaves into the why, the way that we do things and why we do things, down from like which packaging tape should we order all the way to like how do we handle conflict, how do we handle growth, what do we think about like sustainability and holistic living as creatives. Like, you'll hear from her soon, I'm sure, because I love talking with Sarah. So I'll just record us in the studio one day and then I'll share it with you, okay? It'll be great. All right. I am so thankful for you. If there are topics that you would like me to discuss, please reach out to me and share those. I love hearing from you. If you would like to send me a voice message to include in a future episode, you can also do that. You just record a memo on your phone. Like if you have an iPhone, I'm assuming Android does the same. I'm assuming Android has something the same, where you can just record a memo. It's saved as an MP3 file and you just email that to me. If you would like to include a little like 2 minute or under little clip of audio that just says who you are, what you create, what you're learning. If you have a question, ask the question in that way. That'd be really cool to include some of your voices in this space. So if you would like to do that, send your audios, your messages to learn@emilyjeffords.com. And if it's a good fit, which I'm sure it will be because you're so adorable, I'll include it in a future episode. If you have a question in particular, I would love to answer your questions in that way, because hearing from you, hearing some background would just be really gratifying. So again, keep them short, under 2 minutes for sure, maybe like under 1 minute preferably, just so that, you know, we can flow well. I say as the most long-winded person I know, sorry about that, but I would love to include your voices in this space if you'd like to share them. As always, rate and review this show. It signals to the algorithms that you are here and that you enjoy being here. And also, I really love reading your reviews. They're just so thoughtful and sweet. So that always encourages me. Okay, I'll be back with Diana next time. And until then, I hope you create and you feel free and you love your process. Send yourself some affirmations. Please affirm yourself, affirm that you belong in your creative practice, you belong in your studio, that it is a good and beautiful place to be, and that you will create good work in your studio next time you step foot into that space. Okay, bye for now.